Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
The cup is absolute magic and AFCON begins. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Monday, the 10th of January. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Vidushin Hantharaja.
What an absolute blinder of a weekend of football that was. The show is so full that we've only got 15 seconds to get started and into it. So, Vish, how was your weekend in one word?
Good, England didn't lose the cricket.
That's not one word. Jim, do you trust the process?
Yes.
All right. Can't argue with that. Newcastle 0, Cambridge 1. Newcastle chairman Yasir Al-Rumayyan paid a visit to the dressing room along with his bodyguards afterwards. Eddie Howe said they were very supportive.
That sounds very diplomatic, doesn't it? Who knows?
Weren't the bodyguards on the wrong side?
What a bloody win from Cambridge United. I don't know about you guys, but we talking beforehand, you know, cup set. We won a cup set. You got a Premier League side on the, losing. It's from the 56th minute, they're 1-0 down. Joe Ironside scores for Cambridge United. You think, most of the time, you think, there's no chance this League One side are going to hold out for the win here. But with Newcastle United, Jim?
In the FA Cup especially, they've got a special relationship with it, haven't they? In a way that they will desperately want to turn around. I mean, no, but I completely agree. You always expect that, oh, this fairy tale isn't going to happen. We saw a couple of examples of it at the weekend that we'll come on to. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is it Newcastle get in their own heads in the cup a bit, don't they, with stuff like this? And I think that played a big, big part of it. But obviously, you know, Cambridge, I think they sensed that and they were just loving it. The old boys network, the old Oxbridge network must be buzzing, Kate.
Buzzing.
This is a huge win for you, isn't it?
It's buzzing. My dad got on board with it. He's very excited.
I thought they just played intramural football in Cambridge as well. I was amazed at how well they played.
Yeah. Their goalkeeper, Dimitar Mitov, had a game of his life as well, though, didn't he? That first incredible save to put Jacob Murphy's volley onto the bar.
Jacob Murphy, who was determined to score, like absolutely possessed, seemed to think, I'm going to take this game by the scruff of the neck. It's Cambridge, surely. This is an opportunity for us to score some goals, get a confidence-boosting win, and yet...
The thing about Mitov as well, he really seemed to grow in confidence, which I suppose goalkeepers do in that situation.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, watching the game, that you have... When you dream about playing in an FA Cup, or if you, you know, if you're lucky to do that and have that option, you kind of think if you're a striker, right, winner in front of your own fans, brilliant. But I felt like to be a goalkeeper away from home at St James's Park, where the fans have a renewed sense of belief and they're all packed in expecting different things,
yes.
And it's actually quite a febrile atmosphere. knowing that you can make a mistake, any mistake, and it'll be terminal, is terrifying.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm not a professional goalkeeper. But yeah, no, it was even the scrappiness of the goal was something to be adored. Just seeing that kind of, I was going to say seeing that kind of scrappiness in that setting, but that's people pretty used to that at St James's Park. Mm. But it just all felt quite
the defense
beautifully
looking like
unedifying.
A League One or League Two. To disrespect those leagues, to be honest.
The way he's kicked it into the ground is just, there's something beautiful about it. And did he have a little nod to Alan Shearer in the celebration as well?
I think he grew up, he said he was his hero, yeah.
But I love that he's done the celebration in that situation. That is absolutely A-list. That is brilliant.
It was so, so good. 16th in League One at the moment, Cambridge United, it should be emphasised. And they've done incredibly. Mark Bonner, the boss there, given the caretaker role back in January 2020 with the club. 18th in League Two. Up they went. And now, I mean, they're probably just like, yeah, obviously. They said, what did they say before the weekend? They said they were confident underdogs.
Yeah.
Didn't really look like underdogs particularly.
Aren't all underdogs to a point confident?
Do you know, writing?
No, yeah, let us know. David, etymology question.
If you acknowledge yourself as an underdog, then you're saying, I'm not expected to win, but I might.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that could be quite freeing.
It's like when you phone somebody as David and Goliath, it was like David didn't rock up with a slingshot that, well, fuck it, you know, he's going to kill me anyway.
Yeah, I'll just go.
Yeah.
But I guess the vibe is Goliath is massive, right?
He is, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And he's massive. Rich now as well. It's got a shitload of money.
Sympathy for Newcastle, I guess. How confirmed after the game that Callum Wilson will be out for 8 weeks. They're now going to sign Chris Wood.
What? Yeah, I mean, that's probably quite smart because Newcastle are in a position now where not only can they obviously buy players because of their limitless transfer funds, but also buy them and discard them later.
Yeah.
So if they want an upgrade from Chris Wood, they can just be like, right, sorry, mate.
If you're Chris Wood, do you want to do that?
Well,
he seems to be having a pretty decent time at Burnley.
I suppose that's one way. That is one way of ensuring that. So my brother over WhatsApp after this defeat said, "It's really annoying, but this is for the first time ever we could buy the club that's beaten us."
Yeah,
and take them over. So similarly, is taking Chris Wood from Burnley just so that Burnley don't have Chris Wood rather than Newcastle have
it? That will factor into it. Also, Chris Wood himself would get a huge pay rise, you would think, and. You know,
the beautiful game.
Yeah, but you know, players look at that, don't they?
Yeah, of course.
They've got
their
futures to think about, and you're absolutely right. Like they can like tool up for a relegation battle now, and even in the summer, if they want, they can be like, "You're now third choice striker at least, Chris."
Burnley, do you want him back?
Yeah.
Tool up, lads. Congratulations to Cambridge United, who did bloody well and have now beaten as many Premier League sides as Newcastle United this season. Per Richard Jolly, good on you, Cambridge United. But don't worry, guys, that was not the only cup set we have to bring you. Kidderminster Harriers 2, Reading 1. I loved this so much.
Yeah.
I know it wasn't on telly. So I had to just following, you know, along on various mediums. But to be fair, Reading are shit. But they're also not, you know, non-league.
No.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, it was absolutely just astonishing, really, wasn't it? I know it's such a cliche, but it's what makes this weekend in particular so good that you get so many of these games and you see the grounds where you can see the houses in the background. it's a beautiful, beautiful thing, and it's such a huge result. Is it something like 79 places between them?
It's absolutely nuts. And also, let's not forget they went 1-0 down.
So yes, you're supposed yes, to yes.
So, score the opener, his first goal of the season, and then. And also their keeper, Reading keeper, Rafael Cabral, that had a magnificent save to almost basically rudely deny Amari Sterling-James from at least 35 yards out. So they were, you know, they were taking shots. They were putting
That would have been a hell
together.
Of a goal, by the way.
Oh, my day. FA Cup goals, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one you dream of. Like, 4 yards out, dipping over the keeper.
Yeah, but the keeper says no. But they really just forced the issue, didn't they, Kidderminster, which is what's so sort of brilliant about it. Both of those goals, and obviously there's a mistake from the Reading goal, yeah, the first one.
I mean, that was shit. That
yeah,
was
it was.
So but that even, was so but shit.
So he made that incredible save to deny us that lovely goal, and then instead delivered for us that absolutely terrible goal.
But it's
goal
percentages, though, right? If, you know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, et cetera, et cetera. And that is an example of that paying off. And then obviously the second goal was like rugby-esque.
Yeah, it was one of those goals.
They didn't have goal line technology, by the way, do they? So.
No, but I thought, like, that looks like a foul. But then on the replay, it's not, is it? Because the keeper... No. I suppose maybe it would have been a foul, or would have been perceived as a foul if Cabral jumped. But he doesn't jump. He tries to, like, out-muscle the striker, which is just a bad idea.
Definite Royal Rumble quality to that as well.
Yeah, although they all ended up on the floor.
Yeah.
And it's the thing I really enjoyed about Morgan Smith's celebration is that he runs away... And if you just took the celebration in isolation, you'd think he'd scored a wonderful goal. Because there's an element of class about his celebration. And all the other players are running in different directions, not really knowing who scored.
Yeah.
I mean, he did the real job of, like, sitting on the goalkeeper, basically. The Russ Penn, who we're going to actually... He features in an email, I think, a bit further along, which I'm quite looking forward to. Anyway, Russ Penn said he wanted to be up against Wolves in the next round as he's a fan and he never played at Molineux. But sadly... they'll just be hosting West Ham in the fourth round.
How would you factor that as a fan?
Wow.
Because you think, well, you know, it'd be great if Wolves went on a run as a fan and of Wolverhampton Wanderers, that's what you'd want. And you're like, oh, actually, it would be nice to beat them.
Yeah, I've often wondered that. I think it's one of those things that seems great until the moment you have to actually do it. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I'm sort of in awe of these people and they're a lot better at this.
Yeah, yeah.
Was Reading's main issue that they didn't play Andy Carroll?
I don't know. Is the horse issue that it doesn't have a horn like a unicorn? I don't really know how to answer that. Would he have made a difference? He would have been big, wouldn't he?
Would he have
fit through their door? That's the big question.
Yeah, that is probably the true question.
I think they're probably used to it, though, aren't they, at that level? Big men bustling around up top. Yeah. I don't think it's that much of a novelty.
Maybe that's why it didn't start.
Carroll there.
Yeah, true. Oh, congratulations, Kidderminster. What a bloody win. That is wonderful. Sadly, an amazing game that didn't end up with an upset, but so nearly did. Barnsley 5, Barrow 4. In the running order, normally we have the goal scorers in brackets, but instead we've just got too many goal scorers.
This is the best game of the weekend.
It was so
absolutely
cool.
Unbelievable.
And let's probably headline is that, yeah, 9-goal thriller anyway. You want to look that up and see that. It's definitely worth, guys, if you haven't, looking at the highlights, partly for the BBC Cumbria commentary, because they had to put the radio commentary on the highlights because they didn't have it on telly. And it's really enjoyable because they're going absolutely mad. But Barrow played for 80 or over 80 of the 120 minutes with 10 men after... Who was it? Who was sent off?
Bedling got sent off.
Well, I mean, he pretty much kicked him in the face. So yeah, his foot was quite high.
Yeah, he didn't kick Peter Ryan in the face, so it was technically a high foot. Yeah. Do you think this was the game? And I totally understand why the ruling is now that we're going straight into extra time and penalties after 90 minutes. But do you think this was the game that needed a replay? Because I think so.
Possibly.
How cool would it have been for Barrow to have held out for what would have been, 50 minutes?
Yeah.
With 10 men and then taking them back to theirs.
Oh, God, you've actually made me feel quite sad about it.
Because they would have been, they looked cooked by the end. Like, even the way that Morris got what proved to be the winner.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't even know he was there after the deflection. Like,
yeah, all they could do was just hope Barnsley couldn't string another attack together, essentially, at that point, when they were just obviously that long with 10 men. But what an effort for them to even be in the game, to just keep scoring. It felt like one of those games where it's actually just beyond the players on the pitch. It's like this, they're just sort of taking part in this mad dance where the goals are just going to score themselves. So you might as well get on board.
Well, they were 2-0 down at half time, right? So it's 5 goals in the last 12 minutes.
Yeah, then Banks paps that free kick in from like 40 yards.
Oh, that was so cool.
Yeah.
That was a really enjoyable one.
Now I feel sad again.
Yeah.
This could have been wonderful.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, but it was, you know. It still was wonderful.
It's still wonderful. Suppose, it's not about the winning.
Yeah, that's true. Let's tell Barrow that, yeah.
It literally
didn't you do
so
well?
Is.
It's the main bit, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of money at stake as well, yeah.
Oh, my days. We mentioned on Friday that there was going to be only VAR in 9 out of the 32 games. obviously. But in the Coupe de France, FC Versailles are going to be obliged to play their round of 16 match away from home because of a law that bans any source of light visible from the King's Room within a 5 kilometre radius.
Yeah, that's...
So we've actually got it quite...
Say that again.
So as I understand it, I guess FC Versailles are not, you know, a top tier team. So perhaps this isn't something that comes up too often, but they have to play their round of 16 match away from home because there's a law that bans any source of light visible from the King's Room within a 5 kilometre radius.
As in the literal
radius.
King?
I believe so, yes. Yes.
Right. Or his room.
Right, okay, so
I don't know if he's
going to
be in it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, he can't be, given that there is no King of
France.
Got
it. But I mean, I thought, like, little ghost. How do they know?
So, presumably, they play in the daytime, like the rest of the.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Is this why that school got closed down outside yours? Because of all the light that was coming in from the kids playing in the playground.
You're allowed to have light. I allow people to have light.
Let there be light, yeah.
Other magic of the cup news. Hartlepool redeemed the North East in the pool derby coming from behind to beat Championship Blackpool 2-1. The Blackpool boss, Neil Critchley, said, "We scored early, which was maybe one of the worst things we could have done in the game."
Yeah, or you could have taken any of the like 15 chances you made, but there you go.
Yeah. I mean, that's very dour, isn't it? I think he's not taking responsibility there.
Mm.
David Ferguson used to captain Blackpool, but he didn't. He didn't mind. He didn't do one of those like, "No, I'm not celebrating" situations.
Just went mental. What was he? Yeah. What would he? What would you say at halftime? Like, why have you gone and done that?
Yeah.
8 minutes
thing.
In. Come on.
No.
We talked about this.
Did you not see the England in the Euros? 18-year-old Joe Gray with the winner. Another classy celebration. Just looked absolutely delighted. Hartlepool go to Crystal Palace in the next round. Also in cup set news, I guess. Although AFC Wimbledon most famous fan Andy Brassel didn't seem too surprised. Burwood beat Wimbledon 2-0.
Yeah.
Still haven't conceded a goal in the competition and they get £82,000 for winning the tie. That is cool.
Warms my North London heart, that.
Oh,
I was really holding out for... Bournemouth against Arsenal. That would be very
Yeah,
cool.
That would be great.
You couldn't even keep up your side of the bargain.
No.
Oh, God, that's so embarrassing.
Imagine being that club.
The cool thing about this 82 grand, which, you know, in the grand scheme of football, as always, your mind gets skew-iff about money, right?
But so true, yeah.
But the chairman of Bournemouth, Danny Hunter, had to remortgage his house a couple of years ago to keep the club afloat. So that's the stuff where people are genuinely like having to cobble together pounds in order to make their football team continue to work.
The way that you said that was Danny Hunter a bit, "Well, that's mine." I've got to make some repayments. That is mine.
There was one of those FA Cup dressing room videos afterwards where they were singing Teenage Dirtbag, but maybe Danny Hunter was
Teenage
just, like,
Dirtbag.
It's a strange
running
choice,
in.
Isn't it?
I love that.
I wonder whether is it? Do they just have a karaoke machine in there?
Why is it a strange choice? I think it's a very logical choice.
Teenage Dirtbag?
Yeah, why? Because they're just a teenage dirtbag. They're just like managing to go up against the might of AFC Wimbledon.
You've not heard Teenage Dirtbag, have you?
I'm just a teenage dirtbag. Have I got the wrong song?
No, you've got the right song, but I presume...
Do you think it was the bit where they go listen to Iron Maiden, baby, that they really...
Yeah. Oh, this really...
Wait, hang on. Sorry, I know this is... we've got a lot of football to get through, but this is important. The concept of the Teenage Dirtbag song, as I understand it...
Fuck it, I'll go on. Ruin Weezer, go on.
Is it not...
Wheatus.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Burn. is that the guy is a teenage dirtbag and then he scores with a lady who's above him in the social pecking order. And I would argue that that's a very apt song for Bournemouth.
Sure, he does actually get to, with her
isn't that
song.
Isn't that Lady and the Tramp?
Hang on. I'm just going to look at... No, I'm not. I. That's what I think it is. And that's my interpretation of the song. And as we know, you know... It's the author is dead, and so my interpretation is just as valued.
Right. I mean, let them sing it, but don't do that again.
Bournemouth, go away to Bournemouth. Speaking of all the young talents coming to the fore in all of this, Joe Bellingham, did you see him? The identikit Jude. He's 16 years old. He made his debut for Birmingham City on Saturday in their defeat to Plymouth.
If he has any more brothers who are coming through or any more family members, they're going to run out of shirt numbers, aren't they?
Also, in related to footballers' news, Demarjo Wright Phillips, son of Sean Wright Phillips and grandson of Ian Wright, made his professional debut for Stoke City. They beat Leyton Orient 2-0. My God, I'm exhausted and it's only half time. Let's get to a break.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
...2021 was a year like no other in European football.
And 2022 promises to be even more eventful.
On the Continent is your weekly guide to all the biggest stories across Europe.
But what was highlighted again in this game against Malmo was just how desperately that team needs something different up front. Alvaro Morata is not right now the number nine they need, and I don't think Moise Kean is either.
We're joined by the best European football experts to get to the bottom of the stories at the top of your newsfeed.
I think Real Madrid is a very logical place for him to go, and if you want that to be an option, it's not a bad idea to make Real Madrid think that you might go to Barcelona. But from Haaland's side of it, it's very beneficial that Barcelona are at least pretending they can afford him.
Come join us every Thursday on Football Ramble Presents.
Football Ramble Presents is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Get in somebody's face. Smash somebody.
Don't smash anybody.
Don't smash anyone.
We definitely don't approve of that here on the Football Ramble. Welcome back. Me, Jim, and
too
Bish.
Much talk of smashing things on Sky. Historically,
I was Stop trying it. To make the reference without going in on it. Come on,
don't
James.
Say it like that. You've made it worse.
You've all
going
made
in
it,
on it
worse. You horrible boys. Right, we need to get a four to score update. Let's see how we're doing in Betway's four to score. Entry to four to score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game, fairly obviously. Further T's and C's apply. Game one this week was Leicester against Watford. Marcus went for Jose Perez. The result was Yuri Tielemans. Game two was Wolves versus Sheffield United. Pete picked Billy Sharp. The result was Daniel Pudence. Game three, West Ham versus Leeds. Jim picked Manuel Lanzini. And the result, ladies and gentlemen, I tell not a lie, was Manuel Lanzini.
That's really quite impressive.
Well, have you ever got it right before? That's what I couldn't remember.
Yeah, a lot of times, actually. Genuinely, significantly more than you have, actually, Kate. probably, I don't know. My thinking is that when Manuel Lanzini gets into a bit of form, he's amazing for about a month.
Yeah.
And so it proved.
I like it a lot. Game four, it's Man United against Aston Villa. Luke has picked Jesse Lingard, but they are playing tonight. So we could get 2 from 4, guys.
We could.
Oh, imagine. We'll be back for another round of 4 to Score on the preview show this Friday. Now it's time for some emails.
God. He's so long.
7 seconds to go.
That was a proper monkey paw of a wish, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really, really was. Daniel Cahill has been in touch. He says, following the chat on Friday regarding Kidderminster manager Russ Penn, I can confirm he is a hard man. During his time at York City in the conference, he was the typical old-fashioned centre midfield hard man and might just have had the best chant of all time. The chant went to the tune of, "You are my sunshine." He's not a ballpoint. He's not a felt tip. He's not a biro. He's not a Bic. We've got a better pen. He wears our number 10. Let's all sing for Russell Penn. I don't know or care if that's how the song actually goes.
Jim, that was so
let's
lovely.
Hope you all agree.
His name is Russell Penn.
Oh my God. My apologies to anybody like listening around people who don't also listen to
my
Ramble.
My apologies to music.
I'll give my early apologies to Will, who sent in an email that I will now butcher. Long time listener, but first time emailer. Yes, I'm lazy, like Luke says. After listening to Thursday's ramble about people being named after players, I thought you'd be interested in this. I deliver parcels, and recently one of the customers on my round caught my eye. Her name was Gerard Shankly Dugleesh Anfield Cop.
No, it fucking wasn't.
That's bollocks. I have attached evidence, as otherwise even I wouldn't believe me.
Oh.
Are you allowed to do that?
Have we really got it? I don't believe that.
Well, I mean, he wouldn't lie.
He wouldn't lie.
I mean, he would lie, but he wouldn't send in evidence about, you know, lie about sending in evidence.
I imagine you could mock it all up quite easily.
They're not privacy issues here.
Right, we're getting a little bit of the picture of the... It might have been a joke, you guys. Anyway, either way...
In the way that it's dressed... Yeah, okay, because I've done that to a mate of mine.
Yeah.
Where I put his nickname on on a present and he went to the post office to pick it up because he wasn't in when it was delivered and they wouldn't give it to him.
Oh, no.
Because he was like, "That's not your name." And he's like, "It's my address." So he had to guess what the name was. And he got it like the fifth attempt. Yeah. So maybe that's what this is.
This is something you did to your friend.
Yeah. But it's like a nice thing. I thought, this is, this will be cute. It wasn't cute.
Yeah. That really
got redirected to the post office, didn't it?
And then, where cuteness dies.
Really backfired, that one.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Never mind, Vish. Email in show@footballramble.com if you've done something cute for a friend and it's backfired. Or tweet us @footballramble. Now, somehow this bloody Arsenal game has slipped into the second half of the running order. I'm not sure how that happened, but anyway, here it is.
Well, I don't know if we've got time now, have we?
We need to get to the AFCON. Yeah. Nottingham Forest 1, Arsenal 0. Lewis Graben, Jim's favourite player, scoring in the 83rd minute. Arsenal losing the third round for the second time in 26 years. That's a good record, isn't it, Jim? That's something to hang your hat on. Both instances have interestingly been against Nottingham Forest.
Outrageous from Forest, frankly, to be honest. Very disappointed in them for doing
good,
that to us.
I would say.
Again.
They were very good.
I suppose
good.
From their point of view, it probably is quite good, isn't it? But they were really good. It sounds so cliche, but they essentially just did the basics better. They were organised. They were patient. They fought harder. They were first to everything. The crowd were behind them. Obviously, that seemed to affect Arsenal. And I think what we're seeing in this iteration of Arsenal is that they are a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde team. You know, they played without confidence yesterday and they were absolutely listless. Now, I know the midfield was pretty makeshift because of Granit Xhaka testing positive for COVID. Mm. And I was worried about Maitland-Niles leaving and then us being short, and that immediately came to pass, as you would expect. But I mean, I don't want to put too much criticism at the feet of Lokonga and Charlie Patino, because obviously Patino's 18 years old. It's a makeshift midfield and Lokonga's young as well, but players like Cedric was awful yesterday. Mm-hmm. just barely, I mean he he played in a way that barely kind of qualifies as the role he was supposed to be playing. It was. Do you remember when Tomiyasu signed? There were the two clowns on Sky Sports going, "No one seems to know what his position is. He's a footballer without a position." A pair of absolute prats. But Cedric seemed to actually take that energy to the role and not seem to play in a position. So that was fun.
Every now and again, Saka would give him a look and be like, "Are you supposed to be on air? Like,
yeah.
Where's the stupid? Oh, it's Cedric, right? Yeah, they seem to be getting each other's way. The only person who had any kind of impetus from Arsenal's point of view was Martinelli.
Odegaard, yeah, and I expected
all the Martins.
Odegaard was fine, but it felt like Martinelli suddenly the game sped up to a level that maybe not Nottingham Forest wouldn't be able to keep up.
Yeah, but there wasn't enough cohesion around him, though.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was only like, they didn't have a shot on target. Nketiah essentially seemed to cross when he should have shot, across. Like, I mean, he's in the shot window, but it's, I mean, doesn't say much about the shop, does it?
Mikel Arteta apologised for the display, and Roy Keane said they played like a pub team. Look, Nottingham Forest
lazy, were like a pub pundit,
like a pub. That is a bit lazy. I tell you what, it's great that Nottingham Forest played so well. What am I saying? I'm trying to get away with that. No, Nottingham Forest were good, and I really like that for the goal. Graben did a great job. Ryan Yates provided a beautiful cross.
It was a typical Graben goal. Yeah, he's really good at those.
It was cool, but the cross itself was like perfect. And Roy Keane really caught my eye with what he said, which was, he really knows how to flatter, doesn't he? He opened, this is him being really nice about Ryan Yates, guys. He said, listen, he can be short on ability, but it showed obviously today his attitude is fantastic.
Yeah, it is funny to remember that he's managed in the Championship as well.
And I imagine he knows that him. Exactly. That's why he was talking about
right,
him.
Right.
And it's like, come on, mate. You're on national television. The guy's providing the moment of the game.
I was quite impressed with Jed Spence for the right back.
He really stood out.
He's rapid as well. Yeah. You know, I was so impressed with, and like his composure. There were a number of times when he was like penned back on Martinelli's side, where he kept his cool and played his way out.
He looked very confident, didn't he?
Yeah. There were a few Middlesbrough fans I know who were a bit like, brilliant, now looks like a world beater. Sell him after three seasons in the Championship. Brilliant, thank you for that.
Yeah, fair enough. Manager Steve Cooper seems to be doing a great job at the City Ground. They're now going to be on to an East Midlands derby with the holders Leicester City.
That's quite exciting.
That is quite exciting.
I'm all over that.
I'm actually feeling now a bit pissed off with Chesterfield for not managing to beat Chelsea, you know?
Yeah, that was bullying at the end though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That felt really mean.
The goal though, when they got their goal, that was a beautiful moment.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah, it was. Well done, Chesterfield. Sorry you weren't on the telly. Spurs 3, Morecambe 1 in the end. Spurs 1-0 down against mighty Morecambe until the 74th minute, where Winks put a free kick in completely to his own surprise. But it was a great look. It was a good delivery.
I really respected Harry Winks being too embarrassed to celebrate that.
Yeah.
Do you remember he scored a similar-ish goal in the Europa League last season from about the same area as well?
It was out on
the left.
Yeah.
But he because he's so small, it looks like he kicks it. You know when a child goes to really kick a ball hard and they get like too much elevation? It looked like that, and it looked like this again.
It's the thing you need to weaponise more. It's like people didn't know Rory Delap could do the long throw. Maybe not enough managers have cottoned on to Harry Winks accidentally scoring worldies.
Yeah, there's an element of the Mighty Ducks about it. It's like his version of the knuckle puck.
I find him with a little beard like quite amusing.
Do you think he's doing it to impress Conte? He's been quite good under Conte, actually, hasn't he? He's been playing, which helps.
Yeah, definitely. No, I don't know if it's to impress him, but it's definitely, because he's so fresh-faced, it always just looks like... Because like girls don't really know that thing about how growing a beard is like a thing that boys think is impressive and not everyone can do it.
This is why blokes think other blokes with moustaches are more handsome than the people they're trying to attract.
Yeah, people don't really think that. Unless they're like a flight commander or something.
Flight commander.
Is that a term? You know what I mean?
Like pilot.
You know what? You know what I'm on about. Well, like a person from the 50s pilot. With a moustache. Yeah.
Captain Corelli, of course.
Yeah, that guy, yeah. Speaking of people who aren't going to play possibly ever again, Tanguy Ndombele was booed when he was subbed off. The thinking seemed to be that he had walked too slowly. I mean, he did look pretty pissed off.
Kane told him to hurry up
and he didn't really do that.
What do you think about that, Kate?
You know I think about him.
But we all know that he's a very talented player and it isn't working out at Spurs, and it's worth making the effort to try and unlock the talent he has on a regular basis. But this seems like a very difficult thing to come back from. And players have come back from similar things, but it's like, I don't know, for that to happen at all, you feel like he must be quite disengaged with Tottenham generally.
Seems about right, yeah. It's an odd and disappointing and sad thought, really, because let's not forget, he costs £55 million. He's our top signing, and like, he's only made 10, you know, this whole thing of him being brought off at 60 minutes, even when he does play, when he looked as though he might be working his way back into a bit of form, and maybe, you know, occasionally you'd think you're getting a bit of tune out of Ndombele. He's only managed 10 90-minute appearances in the Premier League since signing from Lyon 2.5 years ago. And I think basically because Pochettino left, and I sort of thought if he'd stayed, he would have been the guy to get a tune out of Ndombele and to really make him like work as part of the unit. But he didn't. And then Mourinho, if you remember, he came in and started being a knob to him and various other people too, obviously, but him.
He ran with him during lockdown, didn't he? And sold it as a way that he was trying to get him fit, but then
like
kept
publicly undermining.
But then kept bringing it up. Yeah, so I had to knock on his door in his house and drag him out.
Did you get the morning runs at school? Like if you'd like misbehaved, you'd have to like run around.
We
the field
did litter
before
picking.
School. Yeah, it was like that, wasn't it? Essentially.
Yeah, and then he wasn't in the cup final under Ryan Mason, if that counts as another boss. I guess it kind of does. And then Ndombele wanted to leave in the summer, and then Nuno didn't really want to select him. Anyway, what I'm trying to say in a quite slow way is that I sort of thought Conte, after all of this, in the back of my mind, I've been like, look, if Poch is, he's a great player, somewhat a real like manager who invests in a player like that could get something out of him. And I suppose I thought Conte would come in and it would all be fine. But it doesn't look like it.
To Conte's credit, though, he talked it down a lot afterwards, didn't he? He didn't really engage with questions about it. So, I mean, he could have made that much more of a thing. I mean, who knows what will happen behind closed doors? Perhaps he'll prefer to kill him. But
so this morning there are quite a few reports about him leaving. Him and Dele Alli being the two that they want to get out the door. Yeah. And the issue being that because, you know, as Kate said about the money they brought him in for, and thus the wages here on
200,000 a week, yeah.
Really, well, Jesus. But so it'd be hard to offload that without taking a hit of some sort, and they're obviously going to take a hit on it, but yeah, it's just a shame it hasn't worked out.
Yep. Other non-upsets, amazing scenes at Anfield when Shrewsbury went 1-0 up. Liverpool, I'm afraid, as expected, eventually beat them 4-1. Norwich, is that an upset?
I think so.
They beat their League One opposition, Charlton, 1-0. Good on you.
Yeah, they really had to work for it though, didn't they? They had to bring on the big guns.
Yeah, they really did. And Charlton showed the Norwich fans extended highlights of the day they got relegated in 2008.
That is amazing.
It's absolutely brilliant.
Why would you do that?
Surely you're just gonna rile them up for the second half. But I'm all for it.
Just make them sad. Here are the opening 10 minutes from up. Yeah. That is just so unnecessary.
You don't even need the opening 10 on up, do you? It's like the first.
It's
three.
Five, isn't it? Yeah.
Did that make you cry?
That's the one that gets me every time. Yeah.
Jim?
No, it didn't. But I only because of pathetic male insecurity. I wanted to cry, but I forced myself not to.
What?
Yeah, it's, you know, let's it's not have my a fault. Ramble. It's the patriarchy.
Let's have a ramble watch of it and you can just let it all out.
Just blub.
Well, now I do feel embarrassed to say, and I was going to be like, did you guys feel like this? But it sounds like you didn't feel like this. I found watching the highlights back of quite a lot of these FA Cup third round kind of upsets and the Barrow game, like, quite weepy.
Yeah?
Yeah. I just quite love it's the juxtaposition of, because we talk week in, week out about the Premier League, and there's a lot of canker or whatever and at the actually, heart of it. More and than this ever, is pure.
Absolutely. And more than ever with all the Super League stuff and the fact that we're in a bizarrely in a World Cup year where it's happening in Qatar and just all of the football getting more and more like kind of moneyed and further away from this stuff. I know what you mean. It does seem kind of significant and particularly kind of profound.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I suppose like we sometimes when we do this show, there are elements we talk about which we talk about because they're funny, and then you step back and you're like, God, how has it come to this? And so, like, even ranging from the fucking Icardi stuff and Icardi and Wonder on Instagram, you're like, you know, player who plays for PSG, you know, sloshing it around, well, sloshing around in money, I should say. Well, being an absolute state on Instagram. And this was a reminder of the wholesomeness and the fact that if, you know, this is the part of football which doesn't let your mind go to those dirty places. I was trying to make a really salient point there and I got my language so fucked up.
Yeah, you brought in the untamable variable that is the Icardi.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing us back from those dirty places, Vish.
No problem, yeah. I'm going to stand as far away from onomatopoeia as possible for the rest of the show.
I'm glad you agree anyway. Looking forward to the FA Cup fourth round in February. Now, let's take a look at AFCON. The AFCON started yesterday. Yes, we are still Monday. Still Monday. And the host, Cameroon, managed to get a win over Burkina Faso 2-1. Crikey, this one got off to a fiery start with Burkina Faso's Steve Yago with a stud-up challenge. Initially, in the running order, it said on his thigh, but we discussed beforehand, it was not his thigh, it was his penis.
Yeah, it was a full-blooded start to the tournament, wasn't it? It was great, though. Like, it kicked off really, really well. It was an excellent game.
It's true. And also, guys, it's so cool, because this has obviously been delayed by a year, but it's so cool to see there were 48,000 Cameroonian football fans at the Alembe Stadium, many of whom seem to have turned up as early as 10 a.m. to, like, as in 7 hours before kickoff.
There was a lot of stuff going around Twitter about the atmosphere. Apparently, it was fantastic. It looked great on the TV as well. And like weirdly, it was weird to be like, oh, Vuvuzelas. Oh, you know what?
I thought that.
It's all right.
Yeah, I think that's there's an element of like how certain cultures are appropriated by people who go there to watch, whether it's World Cup or major tournaments. And the thing that annoyed everyone about the Vuvuzelas was just like the incessant nature of it and the fact that, you know, it's like someone comes back from a gap year wearing like a fucking shark tooth necklace. You're like, yeah, fine. Take it off now, though.
But yeah, that went away.
Yeah, exactly. But it felt a bit more natural. Yes. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Because the atmosphere, I find in the AFCON, when you can sense the I suppose the heat and the humidity through your TV, it makes everything feel really heavy.
Yeah, massively.
It's true, because the idea, or there was talk of trying to move the tournament, not quite apart from COVID, although that doesn't seem to, as you guys will know, that doesn't seem to have had too much of an impact, because there's already been plenty of like outbreaks, and Edouard Mendy, I think, tested positive in the Senegal camp.
Quite a few of them, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a real shame. But anyway, there was talk of trying to move it to a summer, but there's the Cameroonian rainy season that would never have worked. Mm. So yeah, obviously we've spoken already on the Ramble about the situation with teams, Premier League teams, being upset about losing some of their best players. But on the other side, you know, it's pretty cool to see them play for some of these sides and to get another. You know, we've had Euros fever, now we're into AFCON fever. Yeah. I'm on it.
It's very difficult to pick a favourite as well. There are a lot of teams who have got a
very... Or is the favourite Algeria?
I think Senegal have got a very good chance. They've not won it before as well, so they're going to be very, very motivated. They've got a really, really good squad, probably in their peak years. Obviously, you've always got to look at Egypt with the AFCON as well. And obviously, you've got Mo Salah as arguably the best player in the world right now. And obviously, you know, you need more than one player, but they're in a good position. And you know, you do have teams like Cameroon and Nigeria that are always going to... Cameroon, especially at home. I think that they've not lost in the capital since 1988. So, like, there are a lot of teams in there who are going to fancy this, and I think it's going to make for a really good tournament.
Specifically in the venue that will host the final. So, yeah, I see what you're saying that. Algeria have gone 40 games unbeaten since 2018, although some of those have been friendlies. In the other game yesterday, Ethiopia 0, Cap Verde 1. 10-man Ethiopia in the end were beaten. There was actually chaos for the sending off. The referee initially gave Yared Bahe-Bele a yellow. Bahe-Bele then took and scored the free kick, but kind of like when the referee was just off looking at the VAR monitor.
It's like he didn't tell him, though. He didn't tell them, like, right, I'm going to go check. He just started jogging towards the VAR box. I did like the box the VAR is held in.
Mm.
I like it very much. Yeah, it was like an ornamental tissue box. Lovely bit of decorative streaks on it. Yeah, big fan of that.
Would you like to see more of that in the Premier League? Do you think
I would
help people feel good about VAR?
Yeah. Just the club-specific ones, maybe.
Ooh.
Oh my God, guys, it should have, like, you know, those flares, for example, that go up. Do I mean flares? You know, those shoots of fire that go up at various stadiums when goals are scored. They should have that when you have to go to the VAR monitor just coming out of the beer.
If it's a penalty. Like,
to taking the referee's eyebrows out.
No, they're standing back. It's coming off the top of the...
Well, if he has to lean in to have a closer look.
Well,
it's a terrible idea.
He'd have to learn.
Whatever it should be some kind of calming colour so that everyone can chill the fuck out when he goes to the VAR booth.
Yeah, I think probably the colour scheme is exactly what is causing people not to like VAR.
Roberto Lopez played yesterday, didn't he? He's the LinkedIn defender who essentially Cape Verde... got in touch with him on LinkedIn.
Yeah,
and
like,
hey, do you want to play for Cape Verde? And thought it was a joke. Turned out not to be. And he's become the first Irish-born player to play at an Africa Cup of Nations.
Is that better? Is that even more astonishing than that guy, than Brereton Diaz off of Football Manager?
I think it is, because he left the manager on red for, what, 18 months, 12 months?
It's amazing.
Couldn't even be bothered giving them blue ticks. And he ends up, you know, playing for them. Yeah, lots of, you know, it takes a while to come back from that, from ghosting someone.
Yeah, I like that. I like the manager, you know, just swallowing that as well, and just being the bigger man.
Yeah, a bit desperate, that, I would say.
Well, yeah, that's true. But he becomes the first ever Irish-born player to play at the Africa Cup of Nations. So, you know, there's a pub quiz question that won't be getting asked in my part of the
world. Very, like, nerdy football pub quiz, that.
Yeah, I generally wouldn't want to go to somewhere like that. But no, good luck. Are we all a little bit worried, just because what you mentioned at the start about the spate of COVID cases?
Yes.
At the start of AFCON, when people were joining up with their teams, you worried, certainly I am worried that, well, obviously, we're going to see more positives going through the tournament, but I'm really wary of outside pressure getting involved. In terms of the teams with players, Premier League teams primarily, but also from other countries, where they can suddenly, there's certainly been talk of potentially
pulling them out.
As an option, not any kind of strong talk right now, but as a way of saying, oh, we care. It's about the safety of the players and this, that, and the other.
Well, there's another weird situation like that with potentially with Al Ahly, who are playing in the Club World Cup, and if that. They have a game shortly before the final of the AFCON. So the concern is that if Egypt get that far, they might lose the Al Ahly contingent before the final. So that is a potential nightmare for them if they get to that point.
So interesting also this idea that if you've got COVID in your team, the AFCON regulations have said that you will have to play even if you only have 11 players and no recognised goalkeeper. Which, so that's really not going to be... if it's down to those kind of levels.
It's deeply unfair, but from a neutral's point of view, it will be very enjoyable if that happens. But you'd rather it didn't happen to anyone, because that would be awful. But, like, what a mad spectacle that will be.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. It's one of those things we don't want to see. But if it's happening, we'll watch
curious.
It.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sadio Mane is going to be in action with Senegal today against Zimbabwe. Guinea play Malawi, and the tiny island of Comoros make their AFCON debut, keeping the FA Cup kind of vibes running, I feel like, Comoros. Yeah. And in the FA Cup, Man United are playing Aston Villa. The winner there is going to face Middlesbrough. Guys, what a rollercoaster. Did you enjoy yourself? No, you can't say no. I'm going to rephrase that question, Jim.
I enjoyed lots of parts of this weekend.
And did you enjoy the show, Vish?
I did. You know, the curtain closer, as it were, on what has been an incredible round of third round action, naturally should be Manchester United versus Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Can hardly wait.
Yeah.
On tomorrow's show, to chew over that, it's Marcus, Jim and Luke. Make sure you join those guys. In the meantime, thanks for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network.
Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.